you have your Bible or your device along, welcome to follow along there. Exodus chapter 13. In a recent publication from our now ex-General Superintendent George Wood, he reminded us about those connect-the-dot pictures we used to do when we were kids. Remember those? How many can tell me what this thing is? What's that? Any guesses? Dog? Well, how about now? Well, when they're just dots, you, good luck. But you connect them and it becomes a little bit clearer. How lifelike. How like life. We can go through these seasons where we have no idea what to expect next, or we may think we know what's coming, and then suddenly everything changes. And in those kinds of seasons, we fall to just connecting one dot to the next. Have no idea what's coming next, but we'll find out. Lord, I'll trust you from this morning to this evening, and please, I hope that tomorrow is a little bit better. But when you get in a season like that, and maybe you're there right now, maybe it's been a little bit difficult lately. You feel like you're on hold. That in itself is a place where God can work in a significant way. You can rediscover life in the now, provision for the day, experiencing the moment rather than living in and for some future tomorrow. Perhaps today was meant to be much more than we've realized. Perhaps everything that you experienced this past week, this past month, has brought you to this moment, to this place, at this time. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Father, we pray that you'll take this word and break it fresh to us. May the aroma of it catch us different than ever before. May we see things, experience things in this text we haven't earlier. And may it feed us, may it meet a need, may it strengthen us for today and our journey ahead. And we'll thank you for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Exodus, but back in Genesis chapter 15, in verse 13, God said to Abraham, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. Then in verse 16 in the same chapter, he said to Abraham, in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here. Here being the land of Israel, the Canaan, where Abraham was at the time. So for 430 years, the people of Israel lived in Egypt, and they were slaves. They were driven by their taskmasters to do their bidding. They entered Egypt as honored guests, but fortunes changed, and they eventually were enslaved and mistreated. One day, merchants, ranchers, rulers, the next day, reduced to labor and hard work. One day, riding in the chariots, the next day, running behind the chariots, carrying the goods of their masters. Things went from bad to worse as pharaohs became mad with building projects. There were no cranes, dump trucks, or bulldozers. They used human labor to move mountains of rock, to loads of brick, build massive cities. For 400 years, no Jew dreamed about their future. They didn't have a choice. What would you like to do when you grow up? They just were a slave, a slave, a slave. The retirement plan went like this. You work until you're dead. There was no benefit from all of that they did. There was no paycheck at the end of the week. If you worked well, if they were pleased with you, they gave you enough food to survive. And then Moses shows up. And he says, I met with God out in the wilderness. And the Lord says, I have seen your suffering, heard your cries, and will deliver you from this smelting furnace unto a beautiful land of freedom and opportunity. Now remember, slaves for 400 years. Their great, 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 great grandpas were slaves. They were slave all their week. And this guy walks in the door and says, God sent me here to tell you, very soon you're going to be free. And not just free, you're going to prosper. You're going to be homeowners. You're going to own farms and fields. And it's just, and they were stunned. They literally didn't know how to process what Moses was saying to them. And it was too good to be true. As it began to sink in, they became ecstatic with the possibilities of freedom, prosperity, ownership. That had never even been on their radar before. And then after tremendous displays from God, hail and flies and frogs and blood and billows of smoke, they all lined up to march out of Egypt boldly. The Bible says that they marched out ready for battle. They asked all the Egyptians for anything they wanted, anything that they had admired. And the Bible says in this way, they plundered the Egyptians. So imagine yourself, you took a bus trip to Beverly Hills. And God just said, ask for anything you want from anybody. Oh, wow. Or for some of you country folk, Nashville, Tennessee, Graceland. And you could have a guitar that Elvis used to play. You could drive off in his pink Cadillac, you know, just fill the back with all the memorabilia and stuff that's going, whatever they wanted. They're packed as much as they can carry. They're giggling. They had been slaves, but now they're free. They're on their way to a promised land, and they have everything their eyes ever set on while they were growing up. They could carry out the door along with them. And that's how we get to our text. Where do we go from here? So Moses punched the coordinates into his GPS on his dashboard. And there were two routes that were available. God did not lead them on the road through Philistine country, though that was shorter. God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. Two possible routes. One shorter. The other's not only longer, it's impossible because it leads to the Red Sea. So if God was to poll the people and say, here's your choices. Which one do you want to vote on? Which one do you want to vote for? Do you want to go the short one that gets you to the promised land flowing with milk and honey where you have your own farm? Or do you want to take the long one that you can't get there by going that way? It runs into the Red Sea. Which one do you think the people would have chosen? How many know that God has a different kind of a GPS? We have global positioning system. He has God positioning system. It works nothing like ours does. And how many would agree? God hasn't changed much over 4,000 years. You see a lot of shortcuts to where you want to go. And you're always giving God this advice. Hey, Lord, if you would just do that. Hey, my uncle has cancer. If you would just heal him, he would get saved. And then my cousins would come on board. Woohoo! We could do this thing in a week, Lord. God says, well, why don't we go this way instead? What? That's not even possible. And if we're new to this thing, we do a lot of complaining. If we've been around for a while, we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives, he takes away. All things work together for good. The Lord is much more about the process than the destination. We can't wait until. And God's trying to get our attention now. Well, what about tomorrow? What about right now? In this moment. Interestingly, because the people didn't learn their lessons they were supposed to learn on this trip, it took an extra 40 years. There was a shortcut, there was a little longer way, but it ended up that they just didn't get there. We give God all this advice like we know what we're talking about. Don't you know that if God were to take our advice, we'd never get there? If He would do it the way we think it needs to be done, it would never get done. Just when you think God doesn't know what He's doing, shut up, sit back, and trust Him. Because your way won't work, and His way never fails. Amen. In the desert, they'd be connecting one dot to the next. Morning to evening, off to the next day. We've got a ways to go until we get there. God uses deserts. If you've walked with the Lord for any significant amount of time, you'll find that there are times when it's raining and it's glorious and the river is flowing and you're having the time of your life. Woo-hoo! And you'll find that there are times when God is leading you through a desert and it is dry and it is parched and you can't wait to get to the end of that thing. But even in the desert, God has precious lessons for us to learn. The first lesson I think He would have us learn is prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. When was the last time you were concerned about having enough food to eat in a day? I know we get hungry and we think we're starving and we're in the drive-thru lane and this is taking 2-3 minutes. Will I ever eat again? But we don't go to bed in the evening and say, oh, tomorrow, where am I going to find enough food for my family and I? But when you're in a desert, things that you took for granted, you no longer do. And you learned, Lord, give me enough for right now. Give me enough for right now. Trust. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God, will anybody ever love me again? Lord, will I find another job? Lord, will this, what's going to happen with this diagnosis of mine? Do not worry about tomorrow. Obedience. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Lord, this doesn't make sense. I don't know where it's going. It doesn't seem to be benefiting anybody. Do you trust me? Then obey me. One foot in front of the other. Security. For the day of trouble, in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Psalm 27:5. Have you learned that the promises of God's word are for you? Not just in general, not just for the world, not just for the nation, not just for the pastor, not just for the Sunday school teacher, but they belong to you. He will keep me safe. Can you say that with me? He will keep me safe. He will keep me safe. There's layoffs going on at work. There's the flu bug going around. You may even get laid off. You may even get to food. But He will keep me safe. I am not on my own. I am guided. I am guarded. He teaches us humility in those desert places. It's funny how when you get that job, when that paycheck is coming in, when everything is good, you know, they put some people under you. You're in charge. You can begin to feel like you're a something or other. Boy, when you get laid off and you can't find anywhere, you begin to feel like something or other. And how that goes along, but do not boast about tomorrow. for you do not know what that day will bring. But you can have security because you are in the hands of God. Let your identity be the identity that God gives to you, that he sows into your life. When we're happy and content, when life is good, we lay our days like tracks for our train to run smoothly. Now, we can see our future. We know where we want to go. We have these dreams, and they're in sight, and off we go, and we're always thinking about what is next and what is up ahead, and it's all smooth sailing. We barely notice the scenery along the way. We eat our food, but we don't taste it, and we go through all these experiences, and we don't savor them. We're just so busy, and we're just knocking down the track. Chug, 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 chug. We're picking up steam, and we're rolling through this life faster than ever before. But then there are these warning signs. And we don't even see them. We don't see the flashing lights. We don't see the red flags that are coming. We think the prosperity that's been here, the provision, the meals, it's all always been here. It's always going to be there. But then there's these warning signs. Bridge out ahead. Well, there's a mountain coming. But we're running so smooth. Everything's going so well. No, those signs aren't for me because I'm good and I know where I'm going. And it's always going to be good. It's always going to be just right. So it was for the Israelites in the desert. They sinned, they grumbled, they complained, they got in trouble, tremendous trouble, but there was always a remedy. There was always some way out of their fix, and so they just kept going as they were going, and they kept looking forward to that promised land. They weren't paying attention to the lessons God was trying to teach them as they tread one day after another. They didn't worry about being thankful. They just kept grumbling. They just kept complaining. They didn't worry about becoming holy. God saved them when they were in their garbage, and so surely their garbage was fine to bring along with them. And some of you had idols stowed away in their saddlebags, and they just kept being the people they had always been rather than changing under the guidance of their God. Until one day, there were no more fixes. There were no more reprieves. God slammed the door shut on the promised land and he bolted it tight. And he said, you're not going to, no. I told you where I was leading you. I gave you everything you needed and more. I kept showing up, but you with your hard head kept barking back. You bit the hand that fed you one last time and you will never enter my rest. Back to the desert. Kunk. That door was locked solid. The people that marched so boldly out of Egypt would not be marching into the promised land after all. But God had always forgiven. God had always been there. God had always excused. We thought that it just, Moses would go and cry one more. That's what we do. We sent Moses to go cry to God. And then God relent. Yeah, we lose a few here and there, but boy, who knew that there was an end to God's grace and mercy? They hadn't learned about prayer, trust, obedience, security, or humility. They continued to be spoiled, demanding this and protesting that. They refused to be thankful for manna, refused to honor Moses, refused to obey God. They always had a better idea, a different way, another solution. Why don't we go that way? Oh, I think it'd be better if we just go back to Egypt. I'm not sure about this God that we're following. Catch this, because I think this is why you're here this morning. This line struck me. Their stubborn refusal to follow the Lord, even as they were following the Lord, proved deadly. Their stubborn refusal to follow the Lord even while they were following the Lord. They're following the cloud. They're following the pillar of fire. They're going where God wants them to go, but they're not going the way God wants them to go. They're going the way God wants them to go, but they're not going the way God wants them to go. God had this idea in mind. You're a slave. I'm going to set you free. You're going to be so joyful and happy. When you get out in the desert, you get hungry. Bread is going to fall from the sky. You get thirsty. Water, pure, glorious, cold, chilled right from the spring of God. It's just going to flow from a rock. You're going to go, woohoo! They never went, woohoo! They went, there's water. Nobody even had the idea to bottle the stuff and sell it to the Canaanites along the way. Perrier had celestial water, you know. How many people today, see, this is what got me, because I think I've been there myself so often in my life. You're a Christian, and you're obeying God. You gave up a bunch of the junk of the world. You've taken on things of God. You pray, you read your Bible, and so on. But your heart still isn't in this thing. You really don't trust God. You want your own way. And you're wrestling with Him, and you're complaining about what's going on in your life. You're not with God, even while you're with God. Does that make sense? I think I've been there in my own life. I think there's always just a shade of that in me. I love the Lord. I love what He's doing. I'm following hard after Him. And then every once in a while, I just pull back a little bit and say, that's not right. That's not fair. That's not good. I don't like that. God, if you love me, do this. Do you think maybe you and I could become spoiled to the fact that God forgives us. He's gracious to us. He overlooks our faults. We were a jerk yesterday, but there didn't seem to be any bad consequences. And so we just keep acting as stubborn and as mulish as ever we did. And we expect one day we're just going to end up in heaven. Maybe God expects more out of the slaves that He has freed than the Canaanites in the land. Maybe it's time for you and I to step up a little bit and quit asking for seconds all the time and ask to be used of God, to yield our lives fully and completely to Him. They never got to the promised land. They died in the desert. Today we have plenty. Our closets, garages, refrigerators, even our pets are full. Our pets no longer walk, they kind of roll wherever they go. I don't know if you've been in a pet store lately. Just for educational purposes, walk into a pet store sometime, stroll in, and check the prices on the treats. Check the prices on the treats. It'll astound you. Your doggy treats cost more than your treats. They're organic. They do it. They're good for their joints, you know. How do they know? Yeah, even our pets are fat. The American dream tells us there's even better days ahead. We've always gotten over every obstacle, and we'll get through the ones we have now, and so it's just going to be better and better. Chug, 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 woo, woo. With today taken care of, we borrow from tomorrow. A bigger this, a more that. We'll get it paid back. We're stoking our lifestyle full tilt. But don't you see any warning signs? Everything is computerized these days. Everything's computerized. It was 10, 15 years ago I preached that less than 1% of all financial dealings are done in cash. Now I think it's even less than a tenth of a percent. Think about how many automatic draws you have on your account. You know, it's like needles in your arms, just sucking it out. Your mortgage goes here, and your taxes go there, and your electric bill, and your gas bill, and your data, and everything. They're all sucking it away. I was interested in, because there are all these hurricanes and everything else we're having, they had a disaster plan, things you ought to keep on hand. And of course, there was water and there were flashlights and batteries and a radio. And this time was one I hadn't heard before. They said cash. You better keep some cash on hand, because when it hits like Florida did and electric went down, you can swipe your card all you want and it's absolutely useless. And we know that if systems go down or if there's a glitch of some kind, Stan Jett never even existed. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have you on here anymore, sir. You say you have an account with us. It's not what the screen says. You're out of luck, pal. So somebody could push buttons and your identity just kind of goes away with everything you ever own. Right now, we have a dictator who's promising to deliver nuclear weapons to our mainland. I mean, he's not hinting. He's saying, I'm going to fry you. You know, we're going to wipe you off the map. And they pretty much have the technology to be able to. Well, we're not worried, though, right? Because we have some ships over there and, you know, we'll nuke him before he nukes us. Oh, there's a win-win situation. But we're not even sweating any bullets there. For the past 17 years, we've known about Islamic radicals bent on killing as many of us as possible. Then this last week, we find out some of us kill some of us. Take automatic weapons up and it's just, I guess it's a contest who can kill the most people and go down in history. Our own experts warn us that our power grid is vulnerable to attack. They say it may break down on its own, let alone the fact that you could strategically do things that could wipe out the power to so many people. How long could you survive in your neighborhood, no power on, can't get any groceries for a while? Would be okay for a couple days, because we got enough squirrels in Hanover. When I'm out jogging in the morning, I got to kick the rabbits out of the way. So for a couple of days, I could hunt in my postage stamp front yard. But after that, it gets pretty gamey. And the power grid, we've become so, you know, time was when everybody had a couple of acres at least. And even if you weren't a farmer, you did some farming. You had a garden, you had a couple of animals, and so on. Now we have cable. And that's about it. Do I have to articulate the failure of either the Democrats or the Republicans to lead? And as much as we boast about cybersecurity, I mean, you've seen those commercials, right, where, you know, guy's threatening and they push a button and he's down and so on. Still every day, government facilities, hospitals are being hacked. Their information is being held hostage. How many have heard of the Equifax breach? One out of every two people. You're married, one of you got nailed is the likelihood of it. Your information has been compromised. I won't talk about the national debt. We are borrowing money as a nation just to pay the interest on the loan. We're not touching the principal. We're just paying on the interest, and it's getting wider and deeper all the time. Robotics and artificial intelligence. They showed a hand on the news this past week. It's a robotic hand. You can see my little fingers bent. It works better than my hand does. Does everything a human can. It can stock shelves. It can go get your order filled. It doesn't need any time off. It doesn't get a day off. It doesn't need any benefits. It just goes and does 24/7 what three shifts of people couldn't. It threatens all of our jobs. What do we do that a robot can't do? You know? But we're not worried. Somebody said, if you're not worried, you don't know enough. We pile up dead bodies of aborted babies. Have you ever looked up that map of sex offenders in your area, in your neighborhood? You probably shouldn't, because it is absolutely astounding how many registered sex offenders there are in quiet little rural communities like ours, even. DUI, and now distracted drivers. I was pulling into the dentist office the other day, and a young lady pulled out across, just pulled out of the parking lot across the road. She had a cigarette in one hand and was looking down at her phone with the other, and drove right out in front. She never even knew I was there. I'd put on the brakes, just watched her. She had her eye on the phone the whole time, just badgered. Had no idea. We just about had an incident there. Every day we get in our car, immorality has completely saturated our society. But we're not worried, you know? It's all good, right? You and I are supposed to be aware of the dangers. The blinders are supposed to be off the believers of God. And it's time for you and I to get desperate for our own nation, for our own families. There is a path to victory and security, but it's old, narrow, and hard, but it's the only way to life. It's time to begin to seek the Lord in fasting and in prayer, to use today to secure tomorrow, not borrow from tomorrow to make today cushy, but to realize, you know what? This is not all good. Somebody's got to get on their knees. Somebody's got to begin to cry out to God. And it's really got to be us. In 2 weeks, we're going to have a week of fasting and prayer. And we're going to ask ourselves to get on our knees, to seek God like it all depends on us. Pray like it all depends on us. Believe as though it all depends on God, because it does. We have to get into this thing. Follow the Lord while we're following the Lord. Not all about our trinkets and our toys and our this and our that, but all about getting right with God. It is a desperate, desperate hour. And it's time for us to get serious before the Lord. So in 2 weeks, a week of fasting and prayer, everybody's fast will be different than anybody else's. What would mean something to your flesh to give up for that week? Social media, food, whatever, it'll take. And part of that is going to be looking forward to January, 40 days of fasting and prayer. Don't want anybody giving up food for 40 days, but maybe fasting some days a week during that time. All getting serious, getting closer, crying out to God. God, this is the time. This is the hour. Not going to wait till next year. Not going to wait till something. We are in this thing, God. We're calling on you. We're calling on you. Would you stand with me this morning?